Hey everybody, this is Eric Mueller, the host of The Eric Mueller Show. You're tuned in to the podcast that explores what makes every successful person's inner clock tick by unlocking the most impactful tools within their success portfolio. I'm joined today by Louise Scott, founder of Eight Figure Firm. He's a highly respected attorney with over two decades of experience in the legal world, and his company empowers fellow legal professionals and business owners to achieve unprecedented success in their practices. It's time to dive in and learn how to scale a business to eight figures. Let's head on over to the interview. Louise, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Man, I am very excited to talk to you today, and I think it's evident if you're watching the YouTube video, I've got some shades on you haven't seen in an episode before, and they're not expensive. I got them in New York City a couple weeks ago, $40. But as I was getting pumped up to interview Louise today, I was thinking, it's like, okay, I'm put the shades down. You know, I've got my music going. It's like, okay, let's just get this interview going. And then I thought, wait a second, we're talking about scaling a business to eight figures. Like, think of how big of a number that is. So I was like, no, I feel good. I feel cool. Let's have kind of that, you know, proud mindset here, and let's get confident and let's learn this stuff. And Louise, before we dive deep into this entrepreneurial story of yours and, you know, the expertise you really have in the entrepreneurship leadership space, you know, the legal background you have as well, we want to know what makes up your success portfolio. So if you're new to the show listening for the first time, a really quick way to think of this is to just picture investment portfolios traditionally, which is in finance. Maybe you have a 401k, some type of personal investment account that you're putting money into regularly to lay a foundation for financial goals. Well, here on the Eric Mueller Show, I want to discover how successful people like Louise invest in themselves and build that foundation for their success. So Louise, start us off. What are some skills or traits, habits or mindsets that make up that success portfolio for you?
You know, one of the things for me is reading. I am a big proponent of reading. I challenge people, generally speaking, to read as much as they possibly can to develop themselves. And, you know, I can do an entire show on the benefits of reading, because there's a lot of people out there who don't really value reading. They say action, 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 action. And I do believe action cures all things. And that's the only way to become successful. But there are people that mentally can't get over the fear or can't get over the anxiety of taking action. And for me, being coached, you know, quote unquote coached, by people who have done it through reading has been super impactful. So for me, it's a daily digest of reading, a daily digest of listening to podcasts, listening to things that motivate me, surrounding myself with positive people, exercising, trying to be my best self, and then giving. And I think that that's a really big thing. If you're in the constant state of giving, you'll never feel out of gratitude. And I think gratitude is one of the things that helps entrepreneurs become successful, because it's really hard to be down about your day if you're thankful for everything in your life. So for me, that series of things helps me every single day.
Yeah, and on that gratitude piece, Louise, we kind of talked right before this interview with Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V. And that is really, if you follow him, he's a huge proponent of that gratitude piece and being thankful for what you have and starting, you know, your day with that intention of you're grateful for where you are now and not to get too focused and caught up with the future. However, I don't know if you're like me, I kind of struggle with being present sometimes. I'm thinking in the past, in the future, you know, it's not sometimes not serving me well to do that and spend too much time there and energy doing those thought processes. But have you found, Louise, that has it become easier to, once you get in the habit of, you know, those techniques that you just shared, does it become easier over time for you to do that? Or is it still, you know, kind of just like that disciplined practice of you have to put that intention in day in and day out to make sure it gets done?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a struggle. I don't know very many people that have like the spirit of gratitude just locked in. You know, I've met a couple of people that I felt like were really locked into that gratitude thing. And I have a good friend of mine who's actually written a book about gratitude. But here's the thing. I just believe in disciplining myself through intention and making it a part of my daily life. I have a mindset coach, in fact, that I work with whenever I'm feeling down about my entrepreneur journey, or I'm not exactly at the level that I want to be. And one of the things that she always tells me is, ask yourself, whatever you're upset about, ask yourself, what are the 10 things you could be thankful for in the midst of that? And oh my gosh, I always respond to her like, why do you make me go through this? I don't want to be thankful for the person that wronged me. I don't want to be thankful for the client that talked bad about me. I don't want to be thankful for the person who asked for a refund. But it's amazing how when I put myself in the spirit of gratitude and I go, thank you for letting me serve you and knowing more about my business through representing you and working with you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to go through the struggle so I can teach other people how to go through the struggle. When I start doing that, my entire perspective changes. And so that's been the impact of being intentional through that gratitude session.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to view that. And you mentioned a mindset coach, and I kind of want to get back to that in a minute and talk a little bit more about that. But a thought I just had was, I recently interviewed and had another set of guests, actually two people, a husband and wife, come onto the show recently and talk about how they built themselves back up from rock bottom. And I wanted to ask you just, Louise, have you experienced any significant lows in your life where you were like, you know, maybe in a feeling of despair and thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know where this is going to lead me. You know, I'm nervous about what this might do to either my reputation or my, you know, overall well-being. Have you had an experience like that? And how did you, you know, persevere through that? Maybe using mindset.
I actually wrote an entire book about it. A book is called It Has to Hurt. And I've sold thousands of copies of this book because so many people go through this journey. But in 2016, I went through a personal divorce and a business divorce, partnership divorce at the exact time that wiped out almost all of the money that I had saved in my life. So we're talking about 8 years ago. And my house went into foreclosure. My car went into repossession. I lost my partnership, my job. We were in negotiations over this business separation while in the middle of this divorce. And I lost everything in that time period. And today I'm a multimillionaire. So no, I know what it's like to hit rock bottom. I know what it's like to be in the pit of despair. In fact, you said the word despair. That's what it felt like. It was literally this sensation of wanting to rip my skin off, right? Like I was just anxious and stressed about what was going on. How were people going to view me? How were my friends going to treat me? How would I ever get a job? How would I ever start a business again? Everything I had worked for had fallen apart. And it was the help of my mentors at the time. I didn't have a mindset coach, but it was the help of my mentors at the time that said, you have to rise up from this. And when I made the decision to rise up, everything began to change.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Louise. I actually got chills when you were talking about that, because there's some elements of that story that personally resonate with me. And I will say that when I was younger, and I'm 31 years old right now, but when I was a little bit younger, I don't think that I had as many, like I didn't really have as many of those trials and tribulations occur yet. You know, I had, you know, a few instances where you have, you know, some scares with health, whether it's with your family and friends, but you know, that happened. It hadn't happened, you know, prior to that when I was 22 years old or whatever. Right. And so I think that it's one of those things where, you know, I feel like I always think of my parents when I think of this stuff, but it's like, oh, well, you know, you'll know when, you know, you're a parent or whatever. People say that, and I'm not a parent yet, but it's like, you think of those avenues where, you know, you probably look back on some of those experiences of being in that despair, you know, situation, and you're probably a little bit grateful for that, from where it has led you to now, where it has built you to. And I'm wondering, do you think you would be where you are today had you not had those experiences? Or are you thinking, do you believe in maybe some form of destiny where you thought you'd be where you are regardless of what happened? Because you, as Louise Scott, like you were going to make it happen. You were going to, you know, have that motivation and that drive to chase your goals regardless of what happened to you.
Yeah, that's really a complicated question, right? Because like, to some extent, I did have the belief that I was going to become something. And also, part of my problem was my own decision-making, right? So like I caused some of this. It's not like it all happened to me, right? And so I caused some of this, these calamities to befall me, if you will. But no, absolutely. Like when I think about what I've overcome and when I find myself with a trial, I just look back at that moment and I go, wait a second. I remember not paying my mortgage for months on end. I remember my credit score getting to 510. I remember not being able to borrow a dollar, right? Like I remember that. And if I got out of that place, imagine what I can get out of now in the situations that I have now, which are nowhere near those kind of things. You know, when I when I face an issue today, I decide where I'm going to face the issue. Is it my main home or my lake home? Or am I just going to go on vacation? Like, that's a very different time period to make it, you know, to have to face a difficult situation. Where back then I didn't even have anything. I was wondering if I was going to have to sell my Xbox just for a couple of dollars. And so
I can't do that.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's when you've been there before. And by the way, I don't recommend anybody cause pain on their life just to have the experience. But when you've been there before, it gives you a strength that you can't really explain. Like, it's very hard to shake me today. Yes. Do I get frustrated if something happens in my business? Everybody does. I mean, we all have certain expectations for our life and our business and so forth. But I'm thankful that I have that to lean on, that moment and that experience to lean on. And I learned so much through everything, the personal divorce, the business divorce, the foreclosures, the losing all my money. I learned so much about who I was. And I realized that I was a lot stronger than I could have ever imagined. And that today gives me more strength as I move forward in my entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. And you had that, you know, journey of self-discovery where you were able to learn more about yourself and kind of get to know, you know, some details more intimately that you maybe wouldn't have had you not been put in that scenario, whether or not your actions, you know, had an impact on that. Because I think to some extent, you know, let's say you get married, you don't necessarily know for certain. You think in the moment that you're making the right decision, but you never know. You know, things change, goals change, you know, people make poor decisions. And so I'm wondering, Luis, kind of grouping that all together, really another avenue that we always really like to look at the show is what is success and how do people define it? And so you shared your success portfolio. We've kind of heard a little bit about, you know, that you've had some struggles that have led you to, you know, realize and be more grateful for where you are now. And maybe not more grateful, but you are grateful for where you are given the experiences you had. But if you were to look back, how would you say you defined success when you first started down the entrepreneurial path? And how do you define it today? And has it maybe changed for you over time?
Dramatically changed. I mean, dramatically changed. I think I don't really know many entrepreneurs who go into the business for any other reason than making money. Like, most entrepreneurs are very money driven. It's hard to be passion driven until the money's taken care of. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We have to take care of our needs until we get to the self-actualization place in life. So when I started entrepreneurship, to be honest with you, I grew up in an environment where I was very poor early on. My dad ended up becoming more and more successful. And by the time I left to college, he was already middle class, or maybe even upper middle class at that point. But early on in my life, I remember my mom telling a story of having one egg in the refrigerator and wondering where they were going to get their next meal. And somebody knocked on the door and had delivered groceries to them, like just miracles happening out of nowhere. And so I grew up in that poor environment. And I told my mom and my dad, I will never be poor in my life. Like, I was just not going to be poor. I was committed to making money. So success to me in my early 20s, late 20s, maybe even early 30s, was all about making money. That's what it's all about. What it was all about. After having the experience that I went through, it changed dramatically. Even though what I lost was financial, I lost a lot of my things, my home and cars and so forth. Like, I still got a new perspective that life could be taken from you so quickly. Everything could be taken from you so quickly. And so today, as an entrepreneur, I defined success with four F words. There are four F words. And that is my faith. Am I where I want to be in my faith? Am I where I want to be with my family? Am I where I want to be with my friends? And am I where I want to be with my fortune? And so money is only one component of it, but there's three other components. And so I spend a lot of time dedicating to my wife and kids. I spend a lot of time with my friends. I have a very active social life. My birthday's coming up in a month, and my wife's like, "What are we going to do for your birthday? Like, you have to get an event center to just invite the friends you have." Like, yeah, and I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, we'll figure it out, you know." And then I'm very active in my faith and making sure that I'm leaving a legacy for my kids and that I'm making an impact in the lives of other people. And so, to me, that's success. Are those four areas secure? And if they are, then in my mind, I'm successful.
Yeah, well, happy early birthday, Luis. That's an exciting. I don't know if you want to disclose the age. What are you turning here?
I turned 42.
42. All right. Hey, that's, you know what? I think that, let's quote Gary Vee here. You are a spring chicken. You potentially have literally two more lives to live, given where medicine might be. People might be living to their 120, 130. So happy early birthday to you, sir. And, you know, looking at, you know, we talk about success, we talk about the success portfolio. We talk about how, you know, we can be grateful for what we have and be, you know, driven to strive for more, but know that, you know, money is only part of the equation. I'm happy that you said that because I'm sure a lot of people listening feel that with entrepreneurship. They're like, when are the dollars going to start coming in? When are we going to be able to maybe achieve some financial freedom or drop down our hours at a full-time job, you know, and maybe pursue something more full-time that you've been doing on the side? And you clearly did that in your career. You had, you know, nearly two decades worth of legal practice, legal experience, you know, managing partner, you know, you were in some executive positions. I'm curious to hear if you might share, you know, how did you transition out of practice as an attorney into entrepreneurship, or what was maybe the inspiration to do that? Because I think that I'm in pharmacy. I think there's probably a fair amount of people in healthcare, in pharmacy that, you know, they might be a little burned out of practice, or maybe they're looking to make a leap into that entrepreneurial space, but they're just not sure how.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I always had this bug to be an entrepreneur. I mean, my earliest days of entrepreneurship working for my own family, like, hey, I'll go to the grocery store and you give me the difference in the cash you gave me. You give me 20. Or they gave me $2 bill. If the milk was 150, I wanted to keep the 50 cents. You know, I would cut the grass at home. I'd wash cars. I'd do all these kind of things. So it started really early on. And for me, I always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And the question was, well, how do I make money being an entrepreneur? And the answer is just try. Start selling something. Find something you're passionate about and sell it. And, you know, I've had an online vitamin business. I've had a penny auction site. I had a political aggregator website. I owned a barber shop. I've owned multiple law firms. I have a consulting business. Like, I just tried things to get the experience. Now, don't get me wrong. Failure hurt. But I just tried things. And as I was trying things, I became more and more confident in my ability to build a business. And so I naturally started migrating from being a practicing attorney to becoming a managing attorney to then becoming an owner of a law firm. And that was kind of my progression. And now I've left the law firm space and I'm working specifically helping law firm owners and entrepreneurs start their own law firm so that they can actually grow. And we've actually worked with other service businesses as well. Video production companies. We've worked with tax accounting firms. So, because the principles work for everyone. But that's how I migrated through. Is I had the bug and I was looking for a door to find my own thing to do.
Yeah, and also I'd like to highlight, you know, just the fact that the business you're in now, you know, is niche in regard to you had experience as a practicing attorney and a business owner of law firms. So, like, you have a leg to stand on. You have some authority in that space. If someone comes to you and has their own legal practice, you know, I think they'd have a lot, at least if I was thinking about it, I would have a lot more faith in trusting you to help me than if someone was to come to me, Eric Mueller, to do my law practice. It's like, what do you know about law? You know, it's like you have a pharmacy degree. Like, how are we going to have any faith in what you're saying is true or is going to work? And so I think that's important. But also, you mentioned that you had some other endeavors where, you know, it's not necessarily tied to your traditional degree or like things that you should know based on what people can find about what you've done from an educational standpoint. And that motivates me to hear that, because I think there's a lot of people that have other interests than what their, you know, day job is, so to speak. And they might want to dive more further into that. And that kind of brings me to a question about when you start a company, when you start a business, the importance of a business plan. Like, does everyone need to do that? Or should anyone who is wanting to start a business, should they spend the time doing that before they even do anything else? Or should they try to develop their minimum viable product first? Maybe a simple way to ask this, Luis, is someone has an idea for a business. What would be the first step that you advise them to do, you know, to just get that from an idea stage into, you know, an actual functional stage where they might start seeing if it's a fit, if there's market value for it?
I'm going to give you the short answer, then I'm going to give you the long answer. And the short answer, every person should have a business plan. If you cannot conceptualize a business plan for your business, you are likely not going to be successful in business. And I'll tell just three quick stories. I met a friend of mine who owned a restaurant, and very popular restaurant. And I asked him the question, and I said, why is it that this popular restaurant becomes so successful on day one? Why is it that there's cars lined up, wrapped around the building, and it continues on for years on end? And he says, they have a plan. The plan is, in the first 3 months of the restaurant, they give away $20,000 worth of food in the first 3 months. And they give it away for 3 months, right? That's a very specific plan. The business is Chick-fil-A. They've been very, very successful, right? Across the country.
Oh yeah. So we'll
start a restaurant and we go in thinking our good food is going to be enough. Well, nobody knows about your good food. Why don't you give a lot of food away? Oh, because I don't have the money. Right. Because you didn't plan. And so that story really taught me the lesson of planning. But what I always teach my team is, or my clients, and when I'm working with entrepreneurs, is that if you're driving down a highway and in the speed limit's 70 miles an hour and it's a clear day, you are going to fly down that highway. I don't know anybody who doesn't drive 80. I mean, on a 70, you drive 80, on an 80, you drive 90, whatever it is, you go 10 miles over, because we've all heard the rule. They can't stop you if it's 10 miles or less, right? That's not even true.
Absolutely.
Okay. But if it's a foggy day, if it's a snowy day, if it's an icy day, you better slow down. Because if you don't, you're going to crash, like that big crash that happened just recently, 100 car pileup, because they couldn't see in front of themselves. You're going to crash, right? The business plan clears the fog. It clears the ice. It clears the snow. It creates that clarity where you can zip down the highway. And here's the thing. I started the Eight-Figure Firm Consulting, and from $0 to 2 years later, we were already doing $4.5 million in revenue in 2 years. Because
damn.
I started and I wrote a plan and I said, this is what I want to accomplish in my business. This is how I'm going to do it. Now, did I execute it? No, because all plans fail first contact, but this is how I'm going to do it. So that's what I tell my clients. And then there's the last thing that I tell them. The business plan is like sharpening the axe. If you're going to cut down a tree, you want to sharpen the axe. So clear the fog, sharpen the axe, chop down the tree faster, drive down the road faster. And with the right plan, you become invincible.
I really love that metaphor of the fog. That was awesome. I think that's crystal clear way to view just how impactful and important having a business plan is. And like you said, if you can't articulate exactly what you're going to do, how can you give yourself the highest percentage of succeeding? And it also, you know, when you start something too, you want to probably define like your customer avatar, the person you're targeting, you know, who is your ideal customer, and then you might find out, you know, learn about them. That might help you with your marketing, and you might learn more ways to connect with them and provide additional value. Maybe you offer different services or products that you wouldn't have otherwise known if you didn't do that research. And I'm saying all that to lead into, what would you say further, you know, to further expand on, we're kind of using a car metaphor, you know, a roadmap of how to scale a company. How does someone truly get something to go from 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 figures? You know, 8 figures, that is $10 million+. That is an absolute crazy amount of money. You know, maybe not from a revenue standpoint, but in terms of profit, or if you're taking home that much money as a company, to me, I'm like, that's outstanding. You've clearly made a really, really successful impact. So Louise, what would you say? Maybe let's start with someone that has a 6-figure business right now. You know, maybe they're able to bring in, let's use revenue. They're bringing in 100+K in revenue. And they come to you and they're just asking broadly, how do I scale this to potentially 7, potentially 8 figures? We're not going to say this is a legal practice. We're just going to say this is an unnamed industry company.
Yeah.
Can we walk through just a roadmap of how to do that? Or is it more complicated than that, Luis? Enlighten me.
I mean, it depends on what the product is, right? If it's a product or service, I think all of it is kind of the same, but it does depend on that. But I'll give you the formula that I teach my clients. And that is motion plus intensity equals velocity. And so whatever you're doing to get to 100, you got to increase the intensity to speed up to $1 million, right? So if you're right now getting most of your clients through social media, you need to post 5 times more than what you're doing right now. If you're right now going to let's say you're selling clothes at a boutique store and you're just going to trade shows, you need to go to 5 times more trade shows to sell that. If you're currently calling 100 people a month and cold calls, you need to call 500 more people. And so I just believe that you have to take whatever you're doing, increase the intensity. From $0 to $3 million in revenue, it's all about client and customer acquisition. And so your primary focus should not be on refining the product. You see this a lot with people who sell like products that they get patented, or maybe they have a business that has a service that's not a professional service. maybe like a restaurant or something like that. They're so focused on the product that they forget they need people. They need people to come buy the product. And so from 0 to 3, you're going to focus 100% on client and customer acquisition. Like that's where all your time, energy, and effort is to developing momentum. And velocity is momentum, right? So motion plus intensity equals velocity. So $100,000 person comes into my business. I'll tell you a story. Actually, a good friend of mine, he owns a video recording company. And you see these a lot now with so many people getting on social media. Everybody wants a great content creator. He came to me and he said, listen, I've had my business 5 years. I can't get past the $50,000 mark. Every year, my best year is $50,000. So I asked him what he was doing. We talked about it a little bit. I said, this is what you have to do. You have to be top line revenue focused, which means you have to go out and you have to get clients. He goes, well, how do I get clients? You got to 5X what you're doing right now. What are you doing right now? Well, I talk to a couple people a week. I want you to 5X the amount of people you're talking to. I want to 10X the amount of people you're talking to. I want you to go on podcasts. I want to interview you. I want webinars. I want social media. I want you to talk to every person. I want you to knock on doors. I want you to sales cold call. And he did it. And in a year, he went from $50,000 to $500,000 after 5-6 years of the exact same revenue. It's all about increasing your intensity. And so if you're at 100,000, increase your intensity.
I love that, man. Luis, motion plus that intensity equals your velocity, right? So that is that formula where I love the idea of a formula. You know, I've asked previous guests, you know, what is there a formula for entrepreneurship to guarantee success or give yourself a really high probability of it? And I love that we kind of have like that equation where you can have that if you're in motion and you're increasing the intensity of what you're doing, you can get that velocity to go quicker to your goal. And it makes me think about, you know, the 10X rule, the book, Grant Cardone wrote that. I don't know if you've read that, Luis. I read that. It's it's a motivating book, but it's also, I'm sure people that read it sometimes feel they're like, where am I going to get the time for that? You know, that could be a self-limiting thought that you have and you think, oh, you got to call, you got to increase your calls from 50 people a week to 500 to 10X that. And they're like, well, where am I going to get the time for that? Because I got the job and the kids and all that stuff. From a mindset standpoint, Luis, how can we combat that and just cut that off from the right, you know, cut it off from the base of the tree before it even started growing? How can we do that to make sure that we're not getting ourselves into a pattern of self-doubt that is going to, you know, do nothing but just scare us from the potential that we have?
You know, combating the negative thoughts and self-doubt is very difficult. I heard a talk recently with Mike Tyson. He was talking about how the world is so negative and people are so negative and our mind is so negative that it takes an extreme amount of courage to combat the negativity. And he talked about how he was so unsure about himself when he was boxing and he didn't even think that he was that good until somebody told him, become the most ferocious fighter in the world and you'll never doubt yourself again. And it's like, we have to become very, very intentional about becoming ferocious in what we do and becoming the type of person that doesn't allow those self-limiting beliefs to enter our lives. When people tell me they don't have the time, I always tell them to do this exercise. I want you to take your calendar for just 1 week, not for a month, just for 1 week. And I want you to write down minute by minute and what you're doing minute by minute. And every person who does this and they do it truthfully, they find that they are wasting hours upon hours every single day, twiddling their fingers, doing nothing. They're on social media, they're watching TV, they're being inefficient with the way that they run their lives. And that's where you find the time. And so for me, I need to find the time to do these things and not be inefficient. And so I'm always looking for optimizing my efficiency because it's in that optimization that you'll find the time to do anything. And, you know, at the end of the day, what I always tell people, and this is a joke, but it's actually true. I have 4 kids. And so I have no choice but to go out there and do whatever it takes. And so you need to develop the whatever it takes mentality if you're going to go into entrepreneurship. It's the only way to be successful.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too, that, you know, you're not coming on here just as a, you know, solo dude with, you know, you don't have a wife, you don't have kids, and you're just like, oh, I've got all the time in the world, man. It's like you have a lot going on. And just like everybody else, everybody has something that is, like you just mentioned, I'm thinking about it as you were talking about that, the time that I spend throughout the day that is not productive. And I had several things coming to my mind and I was like, yep, he's right. You know, that's for sure. There is the time if you want to be intentional and make the time. And it brings me to the point of you also host a podcast, the Guts and Glory podcast. And this got me to think about that just in terms of the grit. And we're talking about intensity and, you know, just being ferocious and becoming the best at what you do so you have that confidence. The quote on there that I saw on the website was, "You explore the guts it takes to succeed and the glory of success." I thought that sounded super cool. I wanted to ask you, do you recall your most impactful interview guest that you hosted, or is there someone that you thought really, really came on in there and just rocked the mic with you?
I mean, the majority. So for a long time, I was bringing on guests and they were all CEOs and entrepreneurs. And they mostly had the same story because this is really the reality for people who are listening to the show today, is that the story of entrepreneurship follows a very similar cycle. And that is belief that I can do it, complete and total failure and destruction, belief that I can overcome that destruction, and then destruction again, and then belief I can overcome that, and then finally success. So that was kind of like the rhythm of most of these calls, was just this constant, overcoming and overcoming and overcoming. So I can't say that I had anybody that stood out, because that was the story. And I think part of the reason I was interviewing guests was because I wanted people to hear on repeat that the only thing that changes is the demo of the person. The maybe they're Black, maybe they're white, maybe they're a man, maybe they're a woman, maybe they're young, maybe they're old, but they all go through the exact same process. And you can't escape the process. That's the key, is you can't escape the process. And that's what I learned interviewing people. And I think that's what people will learn as they go on their journey.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I share that with the people I've talked to on this show too. Like you start to, really the goal, it's like, what are some commonalities? And you hit the nail on the head there with the belief, the failure, the belief, the failure. And if you keep at it, like you will get there. You're gonna succeed. There's some, if you continue, it's hard to believe probably if you've failed 12 times, if you've literally failed a dozen times, but that 13th time might be it. The 14th time might be it. It makes me think of, there's like a cartoon image that a guy is digging towards, like a treasure underground. And there's actually two people, I think, and one of them is just about there. And when he's like a few inches from it, he turns back, he gives up. And the other one is, trucking along and they're going to get the treasure. And so it's a simplistic way to view it. But I think of that, I'm like, you never know when it's going to break through. Your podcast, for example, you never know if you could have a guest listen that it resonates so much that, they reach out to you, they might become your most, loyal client. They might bring in crazy amount of business, revenue to your business. You don't know the impact of your actions while you're doing them sometimes, I think. And that can be hard for people to stick with it and be disciplined because they're not seeing that, immediate gratification. And Luis, I wanted to ask too, I really thought that 8-figure firm, the name of that company, that's powerful. That's the reason I'm wearing these shades now. That's the reason I'm going to wear these for every interview going forward and use that as motivation to be confident, be ferocious, be like Mike Tyson. I wanted to ask you, what made you decide for that, that name for the company? How did you come up with 8-figure firm and what made you want to use that?
So one of the things that we found in the legal industry is that the average law firm was $500,000 in revenue or less. And there was a lot of outfits out there who were helping people get to 7 figures. Like there was swaths of consultants out there helping law firms get to 8 figures. And I said, you know what? I've built a $30, $40 million law firm. I want to help people get to 8 figures. And the Small Business Administration says that only 1 in 667 companies reaches 8 figures in predictable revenue. So 1 out of 6, that's 0.15% reach 8 figures in revenue. I said, I want to do something that's hard. I want to do something that's impactful. I want to do something that's meaningful. And I knew I had never heard of this concept. And so a friend of mine, we were actually talking about this while at a pool in Puerto Rico. We were in Puerto Rico.
Sounds beautiful.
And it was amazing. And he goes, you should call it 8-figure firm. Like, because I was telling him, I want to help people do something more than 7 figures. And he goes, why don't you call it 8-figure firm? And so we went and immediately looked up, is 8-figurefirm.com available? It was available. So then we went and got the domain and I trademarked the name 8-figure firm. So I own the trademark to 8-figure firm. That shows you that it was never in the conversation. Nobody had ever talked about 8-figure firm until I came out. Now, if you look at most lawyer consulting advertisements and just a lot of advertising out there, it's like how to help you get to 8 figures, because like that's a very prominent thing. And I love that I was the one that sparked that just 4 years ago to create that wave. I'm more proud of that than the success of the actual business. The fact that I drew that into the conversation, but that's how it came about. I said, I want people to be 1 out of 667. I want them to be proud. I want them to have a life that I had where you made seven figures every year and you got to travel how you wanted and you could have multiple houses and you could have luxury cars. Like, I believe that that was legacy impacting. And so our tagline on our website, it says it all. It says, eight-figure firm, your legacy awaits.
Man, that's inspiring. I think that that's, you set the standard. You know, you were able to do something that was unprecedented, you know, and it reminded me, I come from a long distance running background as well. And it reminded me of when the 4 minute mile was first broken. And it was Roger Bannister. And it was before that, no one thought it was possible. They were like, how can a human physically move that fast around a track and break that? And so it's kind of similar in terms of, you know, if you limit it as we're going to get you to seven figures and you're never thinking eight, then, you know, what's the point there? What's the goal there? Is anyone going to ever shoot for the next level? What about nine? What about 10? You know, so I think it should motivate anyone listening that, you know, really do aim for, you know, the moon with your goals, because perfection, as we probably know, is not attainable. But if you shoot for something that's level 10, maybe you're going to land at 8 or 9. If you only shot for level 6, maybe you get to 6, but that's not as good as 8 or 9. So I think it should put it in perspective that, you know, what Luis has done with his company is he identified something that wasn't being done as well, wasn't being done at all in terms of targeting that name, you know, brand recognition. And he takes that and now becomes the standard where he's being, you know, copied in a sense. And I always like to think that, you know, people that make something that is good, you know, good copies great is kind of what I think. And so if you're starting a company, you know, maybe you don't want to outright copy someone's idea, but think about, is there a little way you can improve it? Is there a different angle you could take? I think Luis portrayed a perfect example of how to do that with consulting and, you know, his niche expertise in the legal space. Luis, if someone is listening and wants to reach out and connect with you further and learn more about what you do, is there a best way to do that? Are you on any social media? How should someone contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can reach out to me at my website, luisscottjr.com. It's luisscottjr.com. You can find me on all social media platforms, and you can book me for speaking, for consulting. Learn more about Eight Figure Firm. Also listen to my podcast, The Guts and Glory Show. So that's the link, luisscottjr.com.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll tag that personal link. We'll tag the link to the Eight Figure Firm website, the podcast. We'll tag all that good stuff. We'll tag you all on social media in terms of, you know, posting the episode and sharing it. And Luis Scott, really cannot thank you enough for coming onto the show today, sharing these insights, really getting us pumped up. Hopefully you're leaving this episode just feeling invigorated. You're going to go out there like Mike Tyson and you're going to fight. You're going to be the best. You are going to reach whatever the eight-figure mindset is in your life. And Luis Scott, we look forward to following your journey and we'll catch up with you soon.